Father, we are thankful for Jesus. Jesus, you gave your life for us. Help us to live for you. May we be open conduits of your love. May we be quickly obedient. May we find our rest in you and never look anywhere else. For you have provided for us a way. In Jesus, you are the way. You are the truth, and you are the life. And you tell us that no man comes to your Father except by you. We trust you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Good evening, everyone. I know there's some that are suffering right now. You've got Rachel, an uncle, and a cousin now in the hospital. Oh. Okay, what's her name?
Teresa,
and Uncle Al. And Gwen is in the hospital. She's got pneumonia now, too. So, and if there's others, we'll just lift them up collectively to the Lord. And Father, we thank you that there's nothing that takes place here on this planet that escapes you. And for those that we know and love so much, we think of Rachel's Uncle Al and her cousin now too, Lord Jesus. Please, thank you for releasing your cousins from the hospital, and we lift Al up to you too and ask that you would minister to him, that you would bring strength to his body, that you would clear his lungs, that you would heal him, Lord. And I know he loves you and he trusts in you, and I pray that even through this trial, his trust in you would even grow. And for our sister Gwen, Lord, we ask that you would touch her and free her from this illness as well. And we miss those that aren't able to come because of illness or other reasons. Lord, you know what they are. So we ask that you would just continue to minister to them and speak to them, that they would find comfort in your sweet, still, small voice. And we want to hear from you tonight too, Jesus. So help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit says. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing on in 2 Samuel chapter 19, and we're going to be looking at six verses tonight, verses 31 through 37, and the title of this message is, Do You Need Rest? That's a question. Do you need rest? I think I would suggest that we all need rest, but we need the right kind of rest. Last time we met, we saw David. He had returned to his beloved city, the city of Jerusalem, and he was reunited with Mephibosheth. And we saw Mephibosheth's love and his devotion to David. And if you recall, chapters ago, there was a conflict between Mephibosheth and his servant Ziba over some land. We saw this in chapter 16. David gave all the land that was Mephibosheth's to Ziba because Ziba had connived David by telling him that Mephibosheth's allegiance had shifted from David to Absalom. And that was a lie. So David said to Ziba, he said, I'll give you the land. But now we find Mephibosheth back in the picture. There's some question now about whose land it was. So David said this. He said, listen, divide it in half. Ziba, you take half. Mephibosheth, you take half. And Mephibosheth said, no. He said, David, your return to the throne is more important to me than anything else. It's more important than the land. Let Ziba have it all. And Mephibosheth's relationship with David was much more important than anything. He said, let him have it. The throne, much more important. David, your throne is much more important to any personal gain that I might find. And for us too, to see Jesus on the throne, that ought to be more important to us than our own personal gain. That's just a quick summary of last time. But we're going to pick up in verse 31 this evening. And we're going to see this man named Barzillai. We were introduced to him back in chapter 16. He was one of the men that provided goods for David and his men. They were hungry, they were tired, they were thirsty, and Barzillai and his friends provided so much for David and his men. Let's read verses 31 and 32. And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. Great man means God's presence was with him. 80. Doesn't sound that old, does it? I saw somebody give somebody else an elbow just a minute ago. You think I can't see from here? It's not that old. But the king, as we see in verse 33, it says, the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. David said to Barzillai, he says, listen, just come with me. You took care of me when I was in need. Now I want to take care of you for the rest of your life. I'm inviting you to Jerusalem. I'm inviting you to my palace. And let's face it, it would seem like a dream come true for the king to invite someone, to invite Barzillai to his palace. And he said, I'm going to take care of you. But not only take care of you, I'm going to have you sit at my table, a place of honor. Live with me at Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, we find this in verse 34, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? David, I'm just not sure how many years I have left. I'm old. I'm weary. How long do I have to live? But you know, that's a question for all of mankind, no matter what the age. How long do I have to live? We don't know, but God knows. God numbers our days, and when our work here is done, He's going to bring us home. Moses, who wrote Psalm 90, said this in verse 12. He said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, teach us to know how precious life is, how fragile life is. And it is fragile, isn't it? Sometimes we feel invincible, but we're not invincible at all. God could stop giving us life any second. Our time is in His hands. Very short life is, even though sometimes days seem very long, don't they? And they can run right into another, one right after another, but the cumulative effect is you look back in your life and say, wow, this has gone fast. Patrick's dad, how old is he now? 90? 93 and a half. It's a vapor. We're gonna read that verse in just a second. I want to pray for your dad, too. Patrick's dad was just re-diagnosed with bone cancer. But praise God, he's strong in the Lord. Loves Jesus with all his heart. And you know, he did a great job raising you and your siblings as Christians. God is good. So, Lord, we do lift him up to you, too. Lord, help him in any pain that he's having, any suffering. Lord, we know that you're going to open up a portal for him to enter into your glory, into his rest, and his time is in your hands. We pray you administer to him in the name of Jesus. Amen. But James said in chapter 4, verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. That's so true. Does anybody know what's going to happen tomorrow? I wouldn't even want to guess at it. We think we know, don't we? We think we're going to lay our head down on a pillow tonight, wake up in the morning and do whatever is for the plan for the day. But who knows? God's plans might be a little bit different. He might direct you in a place where you never anticipated. He might take me home tonight. I don't know. I just want to be ready. And James continued, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, I picture steam coming out of a steam kettle, right? Things start spouting steam out, and then, you know, this far from it, the steam's gone. That's a vapor. It's gone. It's a vapor. It disappears as quickly as it came. And James is saying this is our life. And, you know, that's a concept that many people, unbelievers in particular, they don't really want to wrestle with. And as you've had the opportunity, I'm sure, to share that scripture with someone, to think, well, you know, life is all about life here. And maybe you've shared that verse and they kind of look at you like, And it causes them to ponder and to think back and look at their life and say, yeah, it's gone fast. You know, especially now that we have grandchildren. Oh my goodness. Before we had children, life seemed to, you know, go on. Then we had children, and it starts to pick up speed, pick up steam, and then grandchildren hit the scene. It's like, wow, I'm in my 60s. Or more, right, for some of us. It goes fast. Life is a vapor. Barzillai said, David, how long do I have to live that I should go up with you with the king to Jerusalem? And he's saying, David, that's not for a man like an old man like me. It's for the young. And in verse 35, he says, I am this day 80 years old. And can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? In other words, I don't taste like I used to, and nor can I taste what I drink. Can I hear anymore the voice of singing men and singing women? Hey, I wear hearing aids, folks, because I don't hear like I used to. It's gotten better since I've gotten these things, though. But this is Barzillai. He's saying, listen, I don't even hear like I used to. Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? David, I'm just a burden to you. I can't be a help to you, but a hindrance. And as I think about this, as we mentioned last time, Solomon, at this point in time, was about 10 to 12 years old. And more than likely, he also heard this conversation between David and Barzillai. And he'd later write this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. If you would turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, this is, excuse me, the book right after Proverbs. You have Psalms and Proverbs, so go to your right, several books. Let's look at verses 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Where he said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men, that speaks of the legs, shall bow themselves, and the grinders, that's the teeth, cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. In other words, the eyes dim some. And the doors, speaks of the lips, shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, that's his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. And again, Solomon understood this, that life is short. And in many ways, depending on where we focus, it could be entirely vain. Well, Barzillai to David said, I appreciate the offer, but that's for the young. There's a season for everything, and my season for that, he said, that's behind me. But here's what I will do. Let's look at verse 36 in the first half of 37. Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I might die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. Here's Barzillai saying to David, I just want to return to my homeland. I do not want to die away from my homeland. I want to go back to my roots. Before my sovereign ruler, my heavenly king, comes to get me. He said, that's where I want to go. That's where I'm going to find peace. David offered him the palace. And he said, I don't really want the sounds, nor do I need the sounds of the palace. I don't need the busyness of the palace. I don't need the excitement of palace life. David, thank you, but I don't need that. I want to go back to my homeland to spend my days. And he says, Lord, come and get me because I'm ready. Was Barzillai throwing in the towel? I don't think so. He was still availing himself to the Lord. He knew God still had much for him to do, but he wanted to be still. He wanted to simply rest in the Lord. Doesn't that just sound so wonderful? Doesn't it sound just so beautiful to just rest in the Lord? And yet, sometimes we do not take advantage of the times that God has given us just to rest in Him. God is so much for us, regardless of what age you're at. Psalm 92, verses 13 and 14 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That's us. We're planted in the house of the Lord. We flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. Praise God, we can bring forth fruit at any age. And he continued, they shall be fat or fruitful. That's what that word means. And flourishing. Psalm 71, verse 9 says, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength fails. You know, there's something very beautiful about those that age in the Lord. Physical strength, we know that's fleeting. That's for the young guys. That's for the young. And it goes away. But you know, there's something incredible about the beauty of the strength in the Lord that some of the older folks have. It just kind of pours out of you with such grace, such beauty, such maturity. In Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18, it says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. In other words, listen, there's still plenty of work to do. Show God's strength to this generation and for those that are going to come along. But you know, family, there also comes a time when a person realizes that, and I think Barzillai realized this, that life is more than stuff. Life becomes so much more about relationship with others and our relationship with Jesus Christ. For Barzillai, the sparkle of the palace, well, listen, it no longer caught his eye. It no longer got his attention. The fanfare, the notoriety associated with palace life, it meant nothing to him anymore. He just wanted to rest among those that he loved. I've had opportunity with many people over the years that have come near to their time of homecoming, and I can't think of a single person, not even one, that said, I'm going to miss my car, or I'm going to miss my boat, or I'm going to miss my power tools, or my stuff. Why? Because they realize that the preciousness in life comes from life and love that has formed into what? Into relationships. That's what it's about. I have no idea how or when I'll have my homecoming, but I can tell you one thing. All I want to be surrounded with is my wife, my loved ones, as I bask in the presence of Jesus. That's all I want. Because that's all that will matter to me. Relationship. I won't say, honey, can you bring the car in here, please? My son, Dan, would you bring my tools, my toolbox? No. That stuff means nothing. What means everything is the relationships that have been established with our loved ones. I think we've got it all wrong in many ways because we're taught from our early days how to be successful in the world when this world and all that's in it, it's going to go up in smoke. Peter said this in 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Peter's placing priority on something, isn't he? And it's not the things of this world. The priority to know Jesus Christ and to love Jesus Christ. Barzillai got it right. He just wanted to be still and know God, and he wanted rest. And we all need it. We all need rest. Psalm 116, verse 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, excuse me, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. And he has. Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, that invitation from Christ himself is for all of us. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I believe that every person experiences labor and overload. But most don't want to realize it or won't admit it. We're trained to be strong, right? I don't need help. Self-made man or woman, whatever it may be. You know, the truth is, we need help. We need help. And the longer I walk with the Lord, the longer you've walked with the Lord, I'm sure the more you realize how much help you need. And our help comes from the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. We need his help. Think about the things that you think about. If your mind is anything like mine, and there are pauses in my thought process, but I believe that our thoughts are constantly running. And I also believe that the enemy wants to occupy our minds with so much stuff that we can't rest in Jesus. Maybe you're thinking about a COVID shot. Should I or shouldn't I? What are the risks? Are there any rewards? Maybe you're thinking, I have no clue. There's more questions than answers. I'm with you. Or maybe even this evening you're thinking about, well, I'm getting ready to come to church. Maybe you've had thoughts about your family, your loved ones, your spouse, children, grandchildren. Maybe you're wondering, what's service going to be like tonight? Maybe you're thinking, I'm just tired. I need to take a rest. Maybe you're thinking about what took place in the last 8 or 10 hours of your day and all it entailed. Or maybe you're thinking about tomorrow or what tomorrow may hold or later in a week or next week or next month. You see, the list can go on and on and on, can't it? Because it's all part of life as we know it here. You're overloaded. I'm overloaded. But don't despair. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it tells us in Genesis 3:19, "In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And in verse 23, it says, "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken." What's God speaking of here? He's talking about, because of man's sin, he will labor. He will sweat. He'll get weary. We'll get weary. We will get tired physically, but also spiritually, because of the restlessness in our hearts. We see struggles in the world around us, don't we? We see discontentment. Probably more now than I've ever seen it in my life. So many people discontented. So many people full of anger and hatred and strife. We talked about this a bit on Sunday. Uncertainty from one day to the next. Concern for our families, for our children and grandchildren. And most people that are running on overload don't even realize it. Psalms 42, verse 5, 42, 11, and 43, 5 all ask a question. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted or disturbed within me?" Why? Well, since the fall of man, people have been trying to find peace and rest in places where no rest is to be found. In Barzillai's case, there was no rest to be found in the palace. Yet today and throughout human history, many people think that they're going to find it in money. They're going to find it in possessions. Perhaps find it in alcohol or drugs, fame or power. But Jesus said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest. You come to me and I will give you what you need, not what you think you need." And we really oftentimes don't even know what we need. We think we need something, but generally it's not right unless it's Jesus, who shall supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. My God shall supply that in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus is the source of rest that you can never have without him. The human heart is restless until you find rest in Christ. And without him, you are restless or less rested. Isaiah 32, verses 17 and 18 says, "The work of righteousness," or the righteous one, "will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." That's where God would have us. In quiet resting places. Isn't that where he would have us to be? The scriptures tell us right here. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, and he restoreth my soul." That's our Savior. Our good shepherd wants to feed us in the green pastures, not where we have to strive. The still waters, not the raging, tumultuous waters. The still waters where we can drink deeply in our Savior. And he restoreth, ETH family, continually restores our soul. Now the scriptures tell us the secret of how to get that rest that Jesus gives. Verse 29 of Matthew 11, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." What's Jesus talking about when he says, "Take my yoke upon you"? What's a yoke? Well, back in Jesus' day, a yoke was a wooden bar that was carefully fit and carefully fashioned for an ox with a harness on it. And Jesus, as a carpenter, he knew a lot about those because he would have made those. A yoke is placed across the shoulders of an ox and enables that ox to pull a load. That's the physical picture. But there's a spiritual picture also that Jesus is painting. And the point Jesus is making is this. If we are to enjoy his rest, the rest of Jesus, we must learn to wear the yoke that he promises. Now, in a Christian life, there's lots to learn. But Jesus said, learn of me. He's saying, study my life. Study my character. Study my heart. Learn of his meekness and his humility. Now, meekness does something for us. It settles us into who we are in Jesus Christ. We're not striving to outdo this one or outdo that one. That's prideful. That's contention. That's a contest. But meekness and humility says, I am who I am by the grace of God. And he's the one that governs my life. When Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, it's often said that Jesus is like an ox on one side and we're like an ox on the other side. Well, Jesus never referred to an ox in the scriptures. And generally, we're not referred to as oxen either. We're sheep. We're sheep. But he says we're yoked together with him and he pulls along. That's what many think. And that's it's kind of a good picture, but it's not what Jesus is teaching us here. In the scriptures, again, we are compared to sheep. Sheep are not pushed, are they? Sheep aren't pulled. They are led. They're not driven. Again, Psalm 23 says, he leadeth me beside still waters. Now, this whole leading concept is a picture of submission, isn't it? And certainly there is a sense by which Christ becomes my strength and my help and comes alongside of me or indwells me by his Holy Spirit, but that's not what Jesus is saying either. When he says, take my yoke upon you, he's extending an invitation to yield our lives to his control, submitting our will to his will. That's why he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You see, learn, he used the word learn. Yoking is for learning. And as a disciple of Christ, which means one who studies him, a student, a learner, it means learning the ways of Jesus. Learning of the peace that only he can give. Learning of the joy that he provides. The strength that we gain as we learn of him and submit to his will so we can stop toiling in the garden of sin and find our rest in his victory on the cross. Many people think that rest comes by taking the yoke off. The owner of the ox would remove a yoke at the end of the workday, and that would enable an ox to rest. But that's not what Jesus said to do. He said, put on the yoke in order to find rest. So the question, do you want to find rest? Then we need to put on the yoke of submission to Jesus. And guess what we'll find? Rest for our soul. Means to put your will, my will, under his will. Now, the word rest doesn't mean to lay down and take a nap because you're so peaceful. Although our physical bodies, we like naps. No, I like naps. You like naps? I think they're highly underrated. I like them. But this word rest, it speaks of an inner peace while one is engaged in service to him. It's not rest from service. It's rest in service. Jesus never said, I don't want you to serve. No, he said, I want you to be like me. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And give his life as a ransom for many. Servants of the Most High God, that's who we are. It's a rest that comes by putting on the yoke rather than taking it off. So in following his words here, if you put on the yoke of submission, you find rest in your service to him in your Christian life. And when we submit to him, what happens now? And this is beautiful, the burden that we can attach to service suddenly and so wonderfully, it gets lifted, doesn't it? Because my will is submitted to his will. And on the other hand, if you take off the yoke of submission to Jesus, then you take up the burden. And that's a burden that none of us can carry. So the secret of the rest that Jesus gives is submission to him. Yoke yourself by submitting your life to the life of Christ. And you know, unfortunately, many people don't understand true freedom. They don't want any kind of yoke or any kind of submission. They want total freedom from authority, thinking that, well, I'm going to do my own thing, and therefore, because I'm doing my own thing, I can be happy, I can be joyous, I can find rest. But you know what? That's not what Jesus is saying. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You see, Jesus' yoke is not a yoke of bondage. But if you drop his yoke, you're picking up a yoke of bondage of the world. And this is the point that Paul is making. The yoke of freedom from authority is actual bondage. Now, when you say that Jesus Christ is Lord, what's that? That's freedom. But many people think, if I had no restraints, then I'd have complete freedom and be free to rest. If I had no boss, if I had no authority over me, then I could really live. Oh, I'd be so happy. I'd have so much peace. But you know what? That's a lie. You would be miserable. I think of a young child, and you know, they can be a bit headstrong, right? I know our kids could be at times, and I know I was at times until I turned 50. But but when our kids were growing up, and we'd take them out in the front yard, and we didn't have any sidewalks where we lived. We'd take them by the hand, and you know, kids would want to take off and run. Give me that hand, you're not going anywhere. And if they could think this, they could have said, well, gee, I just want to be free. I want to run and do the things I want to do. That's freedom that'll make me happy. Okay, let your hand go into the road. Then what happens? Potential danger. Everything that God has created, he has put restraints on. Take away those restraints and you take away the freedom. Think on a very large scale for a moment. You look up in the sky on a clear night, you find stars. In a clear day, you look up, you find the sun. You can look up in the evening, you can find the moon. God put restraints on those, didn't he? They stay in orbit. They stay exactly where God holds them. And what happens when a piece of a star breaks off, or a piece of some kind of celestial body, you get a meteor flying through space out of control, and it does damage, doesn't it? You know, think about the restraints that God places on us. I'm standing here now because God is restraining me by gravity. I'm not flying off into space because of centrifugal force at 28,000 miles per second. Or per hour, excuse me. That's pretty fast. I don't know if those numbers are right, but either way, we're moving really, really fast right now. And I'm right here. God puts restraints on everything. When you take off the yoke, you put on a burden. When you put on the yoke, you lift the burden. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. Verses 28 and 29 of Matthew 11, you'll see how sweet the rest Jesus speaks of. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Rest for your soul. That's inner peace, maybe peace of mind. And you know, a person apart from Christ can't have true peace and rest. And the scriptures tell us this in Isaiah 48:22. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Who are the wicked? The unredeemed. Isaiah 57:20. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no rest unless we can find our way to Christ. I know from experience the sweet, precious rest, the wonderful rest that Jesus gives. Do I live in it all the time? I wish I could tell you I do. But I do know it, at least to some degree. And when I think about the rest that I have, the peace in my heart because I belong to Jesus, sometimes I wonder why it's so hard for people to come to Him. It's hard to understand, and you probably think the same thing. Those that you know and love, and you bring the gospel and you share the love of Jesus, and it's like, I just want to take you by the neck sometimes and shake you and say, wake up. And I know there's a lot of people that did that with me. But Jesus is the one that shook me up. The Spirit of God shook me up and pointed me to the cross so I can find rest. Many people are afraid of Jesus because they don't know Him. I've heard people say, I would invite you, why don't you come to church? Oh, the place will burn down. It hasn't burned down with me. Or Jesus would never have me. And you know, I really believe those are excuses. Because they don't want to submit to His authority. Many people think they've got too much to give up. A few years ago, a gentleman rode his bicycle up and he tapped on a door out here and I answered it. And he said, I'm hungry. Can you give me some money? He said, all I own is with me now. Clothes on my back, a bicycle, and a small bag attached to his bike. He said, could you give me some money? I said, no, I'm sorry, I cannot give you money, but I'll walk over to McDonald's. If you're hungry, I'll buy you something to eat. He said, no, I just need the money. So I began to talk to him about Jesus, how Jesus desires for him to come to Him and receive forgiveness and then would supply all of his need, and how he could experience peace, how he could experience joy, love like never before. And you know, he was very respectful, as many folks are, and he listened. So I asked him if he'd like to receive Christ, and he said no. I said, can I ask what's holding you back? He said, I have too much to give up. And all he had was clothing, a bike, and a bag. But you see, isn't a lie from the enemy? In essence, all of us, every single one of us has essentially no more than clothing, a bike, and a bag. In the grand scheme of things, what is this stuff? It's going to go away. And what people don't realize is the only things God asks you to give up is your sin and the misery associated with it. And give up the things that hurt and harm us. And I've shared this with you before. You know, I had a drinking problem. And never once did Jesus say, stop drinking. And never once did I say, Lord, take the desire away. He just said, you come to me, and I will give you rest. And for me, and it doesn't happen this way with everybody, but for me, from literally 1 second to the next, the desire was gone. It vanished. That was in 1995. and haven't had a desire for alcohol, even the slightest degree. That's the power of our God. But so many people want to cling to the things that ultimately destroy them physically, emotionally, and spiritually. But the things that a person can give up can't compare to what a person will gain. Mark 8:36 and 37 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We can't put a price tag on a human soul, can we? Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." People often say, "It's really hard being a Christian." But the Bible doesn't say that. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Here's what's hard. Proverbs 13:15 says, "The way of transgressors is hard." That's the hard life. If there's anything to give up, it's nothing compared to what Jesus gave. He gave us his life. He laid it down in obedience to his Father, and what he experienced in surrendering his will to the will of the Father was joy. Kind of hard to imagine, given all that Jesus went through to redeem me and to redeem you. The physical aspect, the spiritual aspect, the separation, when he became my sin, separation from his Father. But here's what Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." It gave him joy to submit to his Father. And the reason for that joy is you and me. He knew that what he did in laying his life down on a cross, regardless of all the pain, all the suffering, the pain of separation, the humiliation, all of those things, he saw you and he saw me. He said, "That brings me joy because they will belong to me." And what he did on a cross made that possible, and it brought him joy. So we can find joy in submission to Jesus. We can find peace in submission to Jesus. And the great part of submission is the understanding that God is sovereign. You see, this is his universe, no matter what the devil tries to say. This is God's universe. The problems arise when we think it's ours. Even our own little universes that surround us, right? It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to him. Think about the challenges that you've faced perhaps in the last week. The difficulties. How did you handle them? Did you take the yoke of submission to Jesus Christ upon you? Or, you know, I think of that song, "I Did It My Way." That's not a good way. How did you handle the challenges this week? Did you try to take them up in your own labor? Your own strength, your own energy, your own physical, spiritual, or emotional burdens upon yourself? Well, how'd you do? Probably not real well. Because, but you see, that's the way of defeat and misery. Because what happens when we do not submit to Jesus, when we do not take his yoke upon us, we try to exercise the control that belongs only to him. Are your burdens too heavy to carry? I hope you say yes. Because Jesus designed them that way. So that when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light," you would say, "Yes. Thank you for the invite. I'm bringing it all to you. I'm bringing my heart to you. I'm bringing my will to you. I'm submitting my will. I'm submitting to your authority. And I know that everything's going to work out. That's how I can find rest for my soul. I think Barzillai had it right, don't you? He didn't need the palace. He didn't need the attractions. He didn't need the noise. He didn't need the rich meals. He just wanted rest for his soul. And I believe with all my heart, everybody in this room wants rest for your soul. And I think the Lord has shown us by invitation how to get that. So, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this godly man, Barzillai, and what an example he's shown to us. And no matter what age we are, we know that you're not finished with us until that moment you bring us home. Help us to be useful, to further your kingdom, to proclaim the good news. And Lord, I know that the best way that we can do that is to yoke ourselves to you. For in you we find strength. For in you we find healing. For in you we find peace. For in you we find joy. And for in you we find the greatest love that's ever existed. What a love story that you wrote with your own blood. Love story for sinful man, how you poured your life out that we might live. And help us, Lord, to live for you and to walk with you all the days of our lives. Help us in those moments when we think we need to take matters into our own hands or maybe do it our own way. May we be reminded that you invite us to be yoked to you. Keep that in our remembrance, because you want to make our burdens light and easy. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.